On the line with us is Michael Ratner. He's joining us today because there has been news from south of the border that the United States government is going to release some numbers of prisoners from Camp X-Ray. Now, this is has been the most notorious prisoner of war camp since prisoner of war camps that the U.S. ran during the Vietnam War. And this camp has been running for over a year now with some 660 detainees who have been kept there without charges and without any sort of advice from lawyers as well. In addition to, or amongst these 660 detainees is one Canadian who's 16 years old. He's one of several teenagers who are detained at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Michael Ratner joins us on the line. He's the president of the Center for Constitutional Research in New York City. He's also a lawyer representing detainees at Camp X-Ray. Thank you for joining us on the program, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
I wonder if you can outline the situation regarding the release this week. How many of the 660 prisoners are going to be set free, and what kind of compensation are they going to get?
Well, you know, this is a very, very terrible situation. These people have been there for 15 months. We've been insisting, as have other international institutions, that they be given some kind of tribunal to determine whether they should be there. And all of a sudden, some 15 months later, the U.S. is basically releasing a handful, possibly a dozen to two dozen, mostly Afghanis as far as we can tell. At the same time as they have done that, they're bringing more and more people into the camp. So the actual number is not going down at all. And as to compensation for these people, they're obviously getting none. They're just being flown over to another country, presumably let out on the street or jailed in the other country for all I know. We don't know with regard to most of these people, but it's truly a horrendous situation. It's an offshore penal colony that the United States claims that no court can review what happens to people down there.
Now, you had brought up that the United States claims that no court can review what happens at Camp X-Ray. Maybe you can go over some of the arguments that the United States has made that it has the legitimacy to do what it's been doing at Camp X-Ray. And as a lawyer yourself, maybe you can counter those arguments with what the international community should be fighting for in this situation around Guantanamo Bay.
Well, the United States basically claims that Guantanamo Bay, which is in Cuba but is a U.S. base and is under the complete jurisdiction and control of the U.S., the United States' first claim is that no U.S. court has any jurisdiction to hear a case in Guantanamo. So even though we have brought what we call habeas corpus petitions, they'd be the same in Canada as the U.S., for those people, the U.S. courts have said there's no jurisdiction to hear those cases because they're being held by the United States outside the United States. It seems completely nonsensical to me. It seems that if the United States is going to hold someone in custody, that they can't simply go around the world willy-nilly picking up people everywhere in the world, in Afghanistan and Pakistan and the Philippines, taking them to some offshore devil's island and saying no court in the United States can determine whether they should be held there. It seems like an argument that runs contrary to 400 years of Anglo-American law, from the Magna Carta forward. So that just, it's a terrible argument, but it's one that the U.S. Is actually using. A second argument the United States is making is that because these people are aliens, which is to say they're non-citizens, and they're being held outside the United States, that an alien being held outside the United States has no rights under the United States Constitution. So there's no right for him or her, if there were any women there, to test the validity of their detention because they have no rights. That's a pretty bald statement. Now, the United States would acknowledge that they have certain rights under international law. But the United States basically believes that it can decide what those rights are, and it doesn't claim and refuses to acknowledge that it would have to obey the Geneva Conventions with regard to combatants or obey the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights with regard to others. So the United States' arguments here are really outside the pale of anything I've encountered ever in my life as a lawyer.
Well, let's talk a bit more about that experience at Guantanamo Bay, trying to practice law around and provide services for those people detained. And you said that there's even a Canadian citizen who's there who's 16 years old. What has it been like? Have you been able to consult with any of the people you're defending? Have you been able to give legal advice at all? Have you seen the charges laid against anyone that you're defending at Guantanamo Bay?
Those are all very good questions. The Canadian was picked up when he was 15, which is even more outrageous that he's been kept there as a juvenile, essentially, in that kind of place. Well, as some of your listeners may know, the first camp was Camp X-Ray, which was basically steel wooden, which was basically steel cages, much like dog runs, concrete floors, out in the open. There was a huge outcry about that. And then the U.S. built what they called Camp Delta, which is essentially cells where people are kept in solitary and given, you know, 2 15-minute exercises a week, way below the minimum standards. Then there's an interrogation place. Then they're building a new prison for people, so-called cooperators. So the sad part is we don't really know what's going on in there, because it's not like even you as a journalist couldn't go down there and actually interview anybody. They allow you to take pictures from a distance, but you can't interview anybody. The only people allowed on there on occasion are the Red Cross, and the Red Cross isn't saying what's going on there. So we know very little. They've been, had no contact with me, none of my clients. The only reason I represent them, as I can't really say I represent them, I represent their parents. Few of them got letters out through the Red Cross to their parents, and their parents got in touch with us, so we represent the parents as sort of the next friend. The United States won't even tell the people that there's a lawsuit been filed on their behalf. So they're really incommunicado, in indefinite detention. And when you ask me about the charges, the answer is there are no charges. No one has been charged with anything yet. A lot of these people probably, most likely, were picked up in Afghanistan, maybe by the Northern Alliance, which the U.S. And the Taliban, which the Taliban was fighting against. The Northern Alliance picks up people. They were probably fighters, you know, soldiers or whatever, and the U.S. just eventually took a bunch of those people down to Guantanamo. Do they belong there? Probably not. But there's been no procedure for the United States or that the United States has offered that people are given any chance of saying, hey, you got the wrong guy.
Now, what has been the response of the international community? Has any country taken out legal recourse because their citizens are being held there? In addition to Canada having a citizen being held at Guantanamo Bay, there's some 41 other countries with citizens being held there?
That's correct, 42 countries. I mean, Canada really ought to be screaming about this 16-year-old guy who's there. I mean, you know, here you got a basically taken in when he's 15, with no charge, held for 15 months. What is this guy? He's a terrorist? What is this guy? He has information? I mean, it's like a joke. I mean, it's obvious this guy should not be in, or this young man or young person should not be in some, you know, offshore Devil's Island. That's the first thing. So Canada and each country who has its citizens there should really be screaming. Some of the countries have actually done something. Kuwait, for example, has hired, not my law firm, but because we're a nonprofit, but has hired a law firm to represent 12 Kuwaitis to actually represent their clients and try and get them out. And recently, apparently, 8 countries that are allies of the United States apparently got in touch with our Secretary of State, Colin Powell, and they started complaining. And Colin Powell actually wrote a letter to Donald Rumsfeld saying, really a pretty strong letter, it sounds like, what's going on here? It's been 15 months, still no charges. The people are left there. They're held incommunicado. Shouldn't we be doing something? I think that letter and the stir it caused, that letter was sent about middle of April, that letter and the stir it caused at least caused a few of these people to be released. But it seems to still be moving like molasses, and especially, of course, for the people who are incarcerated in a place where they, as far as they know, they're going to be kept forever.
Now, Michael, what would you suggest in terms of action that people should be taking? Again, this is coming on the tails of a report this week that prisoners will be released from Guantanamo Bay. But at the same time, Michael Ratner informs us he's with the Center for Constitutional Research in New York City. He informs us that there's also a number of prisoners being brought in. So, in fact, the number of detainees at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba being held without charges now, for many, well over a year, is going to rise this week in the face of a small number of releases. What would you suggest the action should be that people should take in trying to hold the United States accountable? Again, the United States, in its most recent war, had claimed proclaimed shock at the way its prisoners were treated by the Iraqi government, and there were very few media outlets, there were very few people pointing out and remembering those detained at Guantanamo Bay as the United States was expressing outrage at the way its prisoners were held.
It was utterly hypocritical of the United States to stand on some pulpit complaining about it, the treatment of its prisoners of war, when it's utterly mistreating the people that were picked up in Afghanistan and other places. As far as what people should do, one, we do have information on the web, so people can visit that, and there is, I think, a way to respond and get some ideas. The website is cr-ny.org, so you can go there. But I think Canadians really have a special obligation at this point to contact their representatives and their government and say, what are you doing about this 16-year-old? Because it seems to me he's one of the most sympathetic cases we have, because he's a 15-year-old boy when he's picked up. He's saying, what is he doing there? And really complaining and putting pressure on the Canadian government, to put pressure on the United States. I think that's absolutely crucial. And to really insist that every single human being deserves an opportunity to go before a court and decide and get a petition whether he or she should be kept in prison. That is fundamental. You can't go around the world just picking people up and throwing them into an offshore camp with no rights. So people have to insist on that. I think they should really put pressure on the Canadian government to do that.
And Michael Ratner, again, that website, one more time?
Is ccr-ny.org, O-R-G.
Thank you very much for joining us. Do you have anything to add?
No, but thank you very much for doing this program, and I can't emphasize enough how important it is that the Canadians get on the case of the Canadian young man who's there.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael Ratner.
Thank you very much.